Please stand for the reading of this morning's gospel, which comes from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the table to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Earlier this year, professionally, my life went through a huge change. For about the last 18 years of my life, one common thread of my life was working in some form of customer service. I've always been good at customer service, going above and beyond to take care of our customers, doing everything I could to make sure that they were taken care of, working through their concerns and complaints, and doing everything I could to make sure that they would keep coming back again and again. From my time at Worlds of Fun, and then my time at Cargill, working in customer service was my comfort zone. Even though one thing that was guaranteed about customer service was that every day would be different, it is where I was most comfortable. In customer service, there's one unspoken rule or expectation, and that is that you need to have all of the answers. When people come to you with a question, you're just expected to know the answer. And after a while, I did. But then an opportunity came up, and I made the difficult decision to make a change, and I moved into a role that was completely foreign. I took a job in project management and training on a computer system that I knew absolutely nothing about. I knew how to train people. I knew how to map out processes. Interestingly, both of these, my years in youth ministry really prepared me for both of those factors. The piece that made this a challenge was that it all centered around this computer process that I didn't even have a base knowledge of, let alone enough to form trainings and write trainings around. The rest of the team that I was hired onto had years of experience, and sometimes even decades of experience in this computer program. It was very intimidating, but also very humbling. I quickly learned that I no longer had all the answers. In fact, at the beginning, I had none of the answers. I had to learn to humble myself and put the others in front of me and ahead of me while asking questions and learning the answers for myself. I had to learn to ask for help, which was really difficult at first. And it was really difficult to utter the phrase, "I don't know," after being in customer service for so long. I had to learn humility, and quickly. At the root of this morning's parable is the concept of humility. Humility can be defined as having a modest view of one's value or importance. And for many, it is incredibly hard to learn. Oftentimes in our society today, the concept of humility is even frowned upon, scoffed at, or seen as weakness. Humility can be a very hard practice when in many spaces of our lives, we are taught to program our minds to say the opposite. In school programs like debate team, and through sports and sports practices, you are programmed to literally believe that you are the best in the room or the best on the field, because that is how you win. We see in today's society, through politics and other things, that humility is weakness. And that if you don't dominate your opponent, you don't win. But then we come to our Bible passage today, and it seems to be pointing us in the exact opposite direction. According to ChatGPT, thanks, Pastor Michael, humility is talked about 70 to 80 times throughout the Bible, highlighting its importance and its centralness in faith and religion. The Bible describes humility in multiple different ways, but shows humility to be meekness, lowliness, and a state of absence of self. In Colossians 3:12 and other verses, the Greek word for humility literally translates to lowliness of mind, making it more of a feeling and a mental state rather than just an action. So what can we learn about humility from this parable? Well, like most of Jesus' parables, there are multiple layers to this story. Right before the reading today, at the beginning of Luke 18, there's another parable that seems to connect with ours this morning. This parable is referred to as the parable of the widow and the unjust. This parable prior to our story today is all about the necessity of prayer and the concept of praying continuously and to not lose heart. It speaks to the importance of the frequency of prayer. It speaks to that prayer is not a one-time thing, but that we have to keep praying. But in our story today, if persistence in prayer was the only factor, the Pharisee would be the righteous one. But in the reading that Bruce read for us, that is clearly not the case. So there has to be something more here. The reading today begins in verse 9 with, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt." Know anyone like that? Jesus did too, and he even snuck them into this parable. The church leaders at the time, also known as the Pharisees, were condemned by Jesus for being hypocrites. In Matthew 23, he even literally calls them out for being hypocrites, for being self-righteous, and for prioritizing status over the spirit of the law. He accuses them of crushing people with heavy religious demands and expectations that then they turn around and do not follow themselves. Sounds familiar. The people he is speaking to and telling this parable to seem to fit this mold as well. I feel like we see this in today's world all so often. In verses 11 and 12, we hear the prayer the Pharisee actually says. It says, the Pharisee standing by himself was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. It's very self-righteous, very self-centered, very self-focused, and literally pushing the blame and the comparison onto others. Look at these people who are sinning over here, and therefore I must be righteous. This is set in exact opposition to the tax collector in the next verse. Now, tax collectors were often seen as the outsider, as the outcast, to not be trusted, to not be associated with. They were often pushed to the margins and pushed out of society. But in our story this morning, he is clearly the one to emulate. In verse 13, it is said, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This prayer is focused on God, putting the sin and blame on himself. And this points to the root of this parable, that prayer is more than just doing it, more than simply just saying a prayer, but instead the intent matters. That there is more than just the act, but that the heart and feeling behind the act matter. Taking a state of mind of humility, focusing on selflessness, and putting God and others before yourself. As I read this parable and prepared for this sermon this morning, I couldn't help but draw a comparison to the Disney movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. We sung a song from this movie a couple of years ago, and it's an absolutely beautiful song called God Help the Outcasts. The song is a prayer to God, sung by lead character Esmeralda, who is a gypsy. Herself and all her people labeled as outcasts by the church. And pushed to the outside, pushed out of society, hidden from view. Within the song, we hear the churchgoers praying for things like, I ask for wealth, I ask for fame, I ask for glory to shine on my name. And it made me think of the Pharisees' prayer. Focusing on their own needs, not the needs of others, and not even on God. As opposed to Esmeralda's prayer in the song, which goes, God help the outcasts, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, we look to you still. God help the outcasts, or nobody will. Rather than even focusing on herself, her own needs, her own desires, she asks for nothing, but only for those in need around her, being fully selfless. Despite obvious examples to the contrary, Esmeralda humbles herself to God, focusing on the bigger picture. And the bigger needs. And this is what God is calling us to follow in today's scripture. Rather than focusing inwardly on our own needs and desires, to take a stance of humility and selflessness. Focusing on God and the bigger picture. As the parable concludes in verse 14, it reads, "I tell you, this man," referring to the tax collector, "went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." I think this is quite the statement. It's also noteworthy that the root of the word justified in this is the same Greek root as the word righteous. But instead of being made righteous by yourself, in the case of the Pharisee, the tax collector was made righteous by God. This morning, my friends, let's make sure that our prayers mean more. Let's take the time to practice humility, even though it's hard sometimes, even though the world that we live in literally tells us to practice the opposite. Take time to admit that sometimes we don't know all the answers. Take time to admit that others may know more, and that if we only take time to listen, we might learn something. Take time to put God first. Humility is hard, but let's focus on it and help and let it make us a better church. Let's continue to focus outwardly as we serve God. Let's work to keep our eyes, ears, and hearts open to the outcasts around us who might be in need. And let's continue to practice humility and grace as we grow in Christian faith. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen.